This week's Pseudopod is brought to you by Dreaming Mind Bindery, custom-made hand bookbinding. You can find journals, photo albums, notebooks, portfolios, boxes, and many other products. If you're looking for the right gift for an artist or a writer in your life, go no further than dreamingmind.com. And if you tell them Pseudopod sent you, you'll get a 10% off discount. Pseudopod number 8, October 20th, 2006. Today's story, Indications, by Richard S. Crawford. Good evening, and welcome to Pseudopod, the weekly horror podcast magazine. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty, co-editor of Pseudopod, along with Ben Phillips. We strive to bring you the best in horror audio. Like our sister podcast, Escape Pod, we are a paying market, supported by the donations of our listeners. You can visit our site at pseudopod.org. Our story this week is Indications by Richard S. Crawford. Richard has published short stories in several different venues, including Shimmer Magazine and The Harrow. He is also the editor-in-chief at Daikaiju Zine at daikaijuzine.com. He currently lives near Sacramento, California, with his wife and six nearly normal cats. The story is read for us by Paul Fisher of the Balticon podcast and the ADD cast. So call your doctor and leave a message about that mole that's been bugging you, because I've got a story for you, and I promise it's true.
Indications by Richard S. Crawford. Was that a spot? Bill Harris stretched the skin on his neck, angling to get a close look at what could either be a blemish on the side of his neck, just behind his jawline, or a shadow from the tricky lighting in the cramped bathroom. Yes, he decided, after shifting his position in front of the bathroom mirror. Definitely a spot. Had it been there yesterday? He didn't remember seeing it before, but it could have been. He rubbed at his neck and shifted again to get a better look at the spot in the mirror, canting his head to an awkward angle and rolling his eyes painfully to bring it into view. Damn it! It was impossible to get a good angle. He turned a little to the right in front of the mirror and pulled the skin down instead of forward in order to get the infected place closer so that he could look.
Bill!
He jumped at his wife's voice calling from just outside the bathroom. She knocked heavily on the door.
Bill, what's taking you so long in there?
Just a moment. Shit! Just a few seconds alone. That's all he needed. Just to check this out. There. Yes. Definitely a spot. A red one, contrasting sharply with his dark skin. A tiny black hair coiled out of its center, protruding from a tiny white bump. He ran down the familiar list, starting with the worst possibility. Melanoma. Skin cancer. The kind that spreads rapidly throughout your entire body, including your liver and your brain, killing you painfully in just a few months. And it had been uncaught for far too long, unseen because he'd been wearing a beard and had never looked closely enough at his face until now, that it was too late. And there it was, just the tip of the iceberg, spreading through his lymphatic system. Oh, God. It could already be in his brain. How much longer did he have? His heart skipped a beat. He poked at the red spot and picked at the hair a bit. It looked like a pimple. But didn't the early stages of a melanoma tumor look like a pimple? Yes, a pimple. That's all. It must be a pimple. Melanoma, that started with moles, right? Yes, moles. Not pimples. Moles. Bill took a deep breath and let it out slowly through clenched teeth, his heart still pounding. Maybe shaving off the beard hadn't been such a good idea after all. He was able to do the daily examination now, as his exasperated doctor had suggested. But then, if he hadn't shaved, he wouldn't have found the spot. Pimple, right. Not melanoma, not cancer. Not an infection. Well, a pimple was an infection of sorts, true. And it could get worse. He'd heard of that happening. A pimple could abscess. An infection could work its way through his skin, all the way down to the bone of his skull. Antibiotics would take care of that, though, as long as the bacteria wasn't one of the new resistant strains. Hadn't the newspaper just run an article about antibiotic-resistant staph bacteria infections in Detroit? He'd do a Google search for melanoma during his break at work, and for pimples, and antibiotic-resistant staph infections. He'd watch the spot for a couple of days, and if it got worse, he would call his doctor. Rosie pounded on the door again.
Bill, I really need to get ready for work.
It would be best to keep this one to himself for now. He sighed. Rosie didn't need to know about it. Not yet. If it did turn out to be a bad infection or metastasized melanoma, well then, he and Rosie would face it together, as husband and wife. He went over to the toilet, gingerly grasped the lid of the tank, and lifted it carefully, wincing as it clunked once on the edge, and removed the dripping black label bottle from within. He unscrewed the cap and took a long sip. The whiskey burned as it went down his throat, and he grimaced involuntarily. The burn faded, and he took another sip. One day at a time, he thought. But these were special circumstances. He had a lot on his mind. He began to revise his farewell letter to Rosie in his mind as he put the bottle back and replaced the lid. Dearest Rosie, please know that I love you, that I will always love you, even now that I am gone. I want you to be happy, to keep doing the things we did together, to keep watching our favorite television shows. He opened the bathroom door so that Rosie could get in and start on her morning routine. She stood just outside the bathroom, clad in her bright red bathrobe, thin arms folded across her slight chest.
What have you been doing in there all morning?
Bill shrugged. Just making sure. Rosie sighed and rolled her eyes, then pushed her way past him into the bathroom. She opened up the medicine cabinet and began taking out tubes and bottles of makeup, mysterious artifacts of feminine preparedness that Bill had never comprehended. She muttered to herself as she examined them, then opened one. He regarded her for a few seconds, knowing that each moment he looked at her, at her dark skin and her smooth features that looked so young despite the gray in her hair, could be the last. He cleared his throat. Rosie? She didn't even turn to look at him. She was staring at her face in the mirror, just as he had done a few seconds before. But she didn't look concerned, just annoyed at some invisible flaw. If something... He paused. How to ask this? If something happened to me, would you...
Bill, nothing's going to happen to you. But if something did... And it won't. Then yes, I would go on, like you've always told me you want me to.
She would go on. Bill nodded and cleared his throat to get rid of the lump that had suddenly formed there. He managed a faint smile. Good. I'm glad. Rosie turned and looked at him.
Are you all right?
A few gray hairs had emerged from her otherwise jet-black, tight curls, enhancing the look of concern spreading over her face. Bill opened his mouth to tell her about the melanoma, about the spot on his neck and what it could mean, but then he stopped himself. No need to worry her, not if it was just a pimple after all. Instead, he nodded and smiled. I'm fine.
Good.
Rosie went back to her makeup. She had threatened to leave him. Just once. But he'd changed since then. Things were better now. Weren't they? He meandered back into their bedroom to finish getting ready for the day. He got dressed, pointedly not looking at himself in the full-length mirror until he had finished and needed to adjust his tie. Not too tight. didn't want to irritate the blemish, whatever it was. He went into the bathroom and kissed Rosie and told her to have a good day. She grunted back at him, something unintelligible. "I love you too," Bill said. Then he left quickly before she had a chance to respond. It wasn't much of a job, really, but it paid the bills. And at least the university had a good health insurance package. You gotta do what you gotta do. All day, every day, Bill wrote his reports or went to staff meetings. Sometimes he met with actual clients. Sometimes he'd take them out to drinks or to lunch to discuss their inventions or products, or the money that they owed to Bill's department. Now and then, he would wonder why he decided he wanted to go into this line of work, but he could never come up with the answer. At precisely 2 o'clock every afternoon, he called Rosie's cell phone and left a message for her, telling her that he loved her, because she wasn't allowed to take personal calls where she worked. But when he was alone and idle at his desk, he almost always found himself worrying about the symptom that troubled him. The ache in his shoulder one day, the minor sore throat next, the persistent tremor in his left foot a week ago. Today, though, was different. Most days he could forget the symptoms when he got involved in his work, but the blemish on his neck preyed on his mind all morning, through the telephone calls, reports, and staff infection. At one point, he thought about emailing his mother at the nursing school where she taught to describe the blemish to her. But then he thought better of the idea. Even though she was used to it, he didn't want to seem foolish if it was nothing but a pimple after all. Still, though, it preyed. Each time he thought about the spot, a cold stone would settle in his belly and tug at his heart, and he'd reach up, unthinking, to touch it. Was it warmer than the surrounding skin? Or was that just his imagination? Half an hour before lunch, the department director, Mr. Jepson, came to Bill's cubicle and sprawled in the client chair.
You know about the rumors, don't you? Jepson said.
Rumors? Bill shook his head. Which rumors are those? If he had heard any rumors of any sort recently, he had ignored them out of habit. The rumors were almost always groundless, and he had more important things to think about. He fingered the blemish once more. Could Jepson see it? Jepson cleared his throat.
Things are looking bad. There's that big budget crisis going down in the state, you know. The chancellor's talking about making some major cuts, and no one knows where the axe is going to fall. You know what I mean?
Bill shrugged, wishing Jepson would leave. He wanted to research melanoma and pimples. Well, he said, hoping he sounded unconcerned, I think we provide a really important service to the university. I mean, half the university's research funding comes from us, right?
Jepson nodded. Yeah, but the chancellor might decide that academic departments are better off finding their own. We've been a moving target, Bill, but the number of targets is smaller than it used to be.
The stone in Bill's stomach grew heavier and colder. He could feel the pimple on his neck, a tiny, dull pain that barely registered. He resisted the urge to reach up and touch it. He bit his lip and glanced at the clock on his computer screen. We'll be fine. Remember the last time we heard rumors about cutbacks? Turned out to be nothing. And it's nothing serious this time either. You shouldn't pay attention to those rumors.
I guess.
Jepson was silent for a moment, rubbing the bridge of his nose.
I shouldn't be burdening you with this, should I?
Bill suppressed an exasperated sigh. It doesn't bother me. I'm not worried. You shouldn't be either. This will all pass. Jepson was silent for a moment longer.
I guess you're right.
He smiled at Bill.
I always worry too much, don't I?
Bill shrugged, but said nothing.
I wish I had your faith. I really do.
Jepson stood up with a grunt.
I'll talk to you later.
He turned to leave, but then stopped and faced Bill again.
Oh, one more thing.
Again, Bill had to struggle to keep himself from sighing or groaning.
Yes? One of our new clients, Dr. Amoud from chemistry, is supposed to have a lunch meeting with Barbara today, but she's out sick. Would you mind pitching in for her? It's right at the Chinese restaurant downstairs, so you won't even have to go anywhere.
Damn! Bill had been looking forward to having his lunch to himself. He usually packed a lunch in the morning and ate it at his desk while reading a book or doing online research at medical sites. He hated lunch meetings.
I'd go myself, Jepson continued, but I have to meet with the dean for lunch today.
With the dean?
Yeah, to talk about those rumors, you know. I'm being silly, I guess, but I suppose I just want reassurance.
Jepson shrugged.
No matter. Just meet with Dr. Amoud. He's got a new hand soap or foot powder or something that he thinks is going to make the university $1 billion and get him a new BMW. Just be sure you get a receipt.
Bill nodded. Jepson left, and Bill relaxed for a few minutes. It was 11:30 now. He'd have to lock up his computer and get ready to go to this lunch. His research on melanoma would have to wait until afternoon. Lunch with Dr. Amoud was worse than Bill had feared it would be. Dr. Amoud was young and charismatic, and at over 6 feet tall, stood at least half a foot over Bill. Taller people and more successful people always made Bill nervous. And Amoud was also at least 10 years younger than Bill, serving up a triple helping of insecurity. Amoud had invented a new dish detergent and wanted to market it through Bill's unit.
It rinses completely clean, he told Bill. No scum, no spots, and it's completely biodegradable. Everyone wants that, you know? And it'll sell cheaper than any other detergent, even the conventional ones. If the university patents it, it'll earn billions.
Bill couldn't concentrate on Dr. Amoud's soapy enthusiasm. Throughout the meal, the young charismatic chemist had been staring brazenly at their waitress, making Bill uneasy. Bill shifted in his seat and found himself absently rubbing the blemish on his neck. It itched. He scratched. He took a deep sip from his second glass of wine.
Now, that is one nice pair of legs, Dr. Amoud said.
Hmm? Bill said. He forced himself to refocus on the professor. Dr. Amoud pointed at the waitress, who was walking away swiftly with their dishes.
Our waitress. She's hot. Don't you think she's hot? Look at how she wears that skirt.
He moved back and forth rhythmically in his seat, as if dancing to some tune inaudible to Bill. Bill turned and glanced at the waitress, then turned away again quickly. It felt wrong to be staring at her. She looked young enough to be his daughter. Well, younger sister, at least. Dr. Amoud turned back to Bill, grinning.
Think I should ask her out?
Bill shook his head. I don't really know. He rubbed his neck, feeling the blemish. It was warmer now and felt wet, like it might have burst. I think we should just keep talking about your product. Dr. Amoud's grin faltered.
Sorry. I just can't help myself sometimes. You know what I mean?
Bill managed a weak grin. He checked his fingertips for evidence of fluid. There was none, but the stone in his belly was heavier. I suppose. Can you excuse me a minute? Dr. Amood looked puzzled for a moment.
Sure. Go ahead. I'm going to ask her out.
Okay. Bill stood up and dropped his napkin on the table and left Dr. Amood, who was watching the waitress again. In the bathroom, he loosened his collar and stretched the skin of his neck to see the blemish in the mirror. Nothing unusual. Looked just like a popped zit with a tiny black hair growing out of it. Probably nothing. Yeah, nothing serious. He scratched at it, and it started to leak.
Damn!
Bill washed his hands and wiped the blemish with a little soapy water. Okay, so it's a pimple. That's not so bad. Bill had grown up with bad acne. He'd been called pizza face all through high school, so this was nothing serious. And a pimple was basically an infection, so the warmth he felt at the spot was just because of red blood cells flowing to the spot to counteract the infection. Nothing unusual or disturbing at all. He pressed a piece of paper towel against the blemish until it stopped leaking so it wouldn't stain his collar. He'd be fine. He thought back to the last time he'd panicked over symptoms like this. He'd been having some strange headaches just behind his left eye and was convinced that he had a brain tumor. It turned out to be migraines. Nothing serious at all. He'd dealt with this kind of panic before, and things would turn out to be fine in the end as well. He should know better than to pay attention to ordinary symptoms like this. He forced himself to ease up a little and think about something else before he went back to the table. He washed his hands and face, wet his hair, and smoothed it down. Calmer, he left the bathroom and went back to the table. Dr. Amood was gone. Bill looked around the restaurant but saw no sign of him. He touched the arm of a waiter as he passed the table. The waitress from before was nowhere in sight. "Excuse me. The man I was with. Do you know where he went?" The waiter nodded, scowling.
"Yeah. He took off and took Cho with him. She's going to be in trouble when she comes back."
So Dr. Amood had gotten his date. "Can you bring me my check?"
"No problem."
The waiter headed off to the kitchen. Bill fingered the pimple. Nothing serious. Definitely. Jepson had left a note on Bill's desk. "See me in my office." His heart pounded. The blemish on his neck burned. Jepson sat at his desk, hands folded in front of him and his face gazing blankly at his computer keyboard.
"Have a sheet."
Bill nodded and sat down. The leather creaked beneath him. He felt the blemish leaking again, and it itched even more. He resisted the urge to scratch at it. Jepson cleared his throat.
"Truth is, we're just not making any money at this point. We have to cut some fat somewhere, and I'm afraid it's going to have to be in marketing. Your department."
He went on about Cobra, about severance checks, about how he was sorry but the university couldn't afford to help him retrain. Rosie's job might cover health insurance for two, so Bill tried not to worry about that. The pimple was starting to burn uncomfortably. Bill squirmed in his seat and hoped that Jepson would finish up and let him go soon. Jepson paced his office, rubbing his face and talking, and looking everywhere except at Bill. While Bill obediently signed papers and handed over his keys and his university credit card. Then, still numb from the wine he'd shared with Dr. Amood, he went back to his cubicle, put everything into a cardboard box, and left. The spot on his neck burned like fire as he drove home. He bent and twisted in the confines of his seatbelt, but he could not bring the spot into view in his rearview mirror. Best to ignore it until he got home. There was a note on the kitchen counter next to the refrigerator, but Bill barely noticed it as he ran through the kitchen into the front bathroom. He had rushed in from the apartment complex's parking lot. He thought he could smell smoke now, or something worse, something rotten. His heart pounded against his rib cage. His stomach churned. A cold fist in his sternum tightened maliciously as he slapped on the light switch and stood before the mirror, loosening his tie and pulling down his collar. The spot was still there, and it had swollen since lunch. It was now visible even without twisting his head or stretching his skin. It was still an angry red, but larger now, half an inch in diameter, and its edges were black and shiny. Necrotic? Dead tissue? Gangrene? Or the black skin could just be his normal skin color, inflamed a bit because of the infection. It was probably nothing serious, he told himself. He even said it aloud. Nothing serious. He couldn't help himself. He let out a small whimper. He staggered out of the bathroom and into the kitchen. He leaned heavily against the counter next to the stove. Nothing serious. Nothing serious. The note still waited on the counter, a plain white envelope with his name on it written in Rosie's hand. For a moment, he was able to ignore the fire in his neck as he picked up the note from Rosie and opened it. There were just three words on the piece of paper inside the envelope. Don't follow me. The burning on his neck grew more intense. He touched his finger to the spot and pulled it away quickly. It was hot. Nothing serious. He needed a distraction. That was it. Bill had learned years ago that if he concentrated, he could make any tiny odd sensation or mark the cause of worry. A numb patch on his finger could be either a pinched nerve from gripping the hedge clippers so tightly for so long, or the onset of multiple sclerosis. An ache in his temple, mild, ordinary vascular headache, or encephalitis. He needed something to eat, and he needed a drink. He poured himself a bowl of cereal and poured milk over it and set it on the dining room table. Then he went into the master bathroom to retrieve the whiskey. It had been removed from the toilet tank. Bill looked around the bathroom, panicking for just a moment before he found it. It had been upturned into the sink and left. He picked it up. It had been drained and rinsed. Nothing left. Damn! He went back to the dining room, picked up his bowl of cereal, and carried it into the living room. He sat down on the sofa before the television, ignoring the burning sensation in his neck as best as he could. It was nothing. It would be gone as soon as he stopped thinking about it. Nothing serious. 2 o'clock. Time to call Rosie. He dialed her cell number, but an operator's cold voice informed him the number was no longer in service. He'd have to wait until she came home to talk to her. The stone grew heavier. The fist tighter. Bill collapsed back onto the sofa. His throat burned. He touched the spot on his neck and winced, burning pain stabbed through his fingertip. Rosie always kept a pen and a pad of paper on the end table next to the sofa, for writing down notes as she watched television. He picked them up and began to write, "Dearest Rosie, please know that I love you." Again, he smelt smoke. There was only one note in his writing in the house the next day when Rosie came to collect her things. It did nothing to explain Bill's absence, nor the ashes on the sofa, or the single tiny black hair that lay among them.
Pseudopod is a production of Escape Artists Incorporated and is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 2.5 license. This means you can scare as many friends as you like with it, just don't change it and don't sell it. Our music is by permission of Anders Manga at andersmanga.com. Next time we bring you a special All Hallows Eve feature. Till then, even hypochondriacs can get sick from time to time. The only question is whether anyone will listen to them when they do.